100% Hard AF Seltzer is now live in over 1,200 locations across the United States. We're now available in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas. Go to hardafseltzer.com today, click on the store locator, enter your city or zip, and find the nearest location closest to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by GhostBed.com!
Yeah, JBs, we back, baby.
We back.
Back from vacation.
It's been forever, it feels like.
Has it? Or did it feel like not long enough?
Yeah, we did Thursday, right?
No, I was working Thursday. I worked Friday, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I had to work both days.
Okay.
Fun story, though, for working on a Friday. Shout out Ryan Mills. We just got mandated in every single HEB in the state of Texas. All 335 stores will be open July 29th. So that is a massive deal for Hard AF Seltzer.
Mandated.
Yeah, it means they can't stop us.
Okay.
It comes from the top.
All right, it sounded bad for a second,
but
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it
to
is.
Be mandated.
It comes from the top, and the president says, I want it in every single store.
Oh, okay.
You do nothing.
Wow.
You do nothing to it. It is on my request, my rule. I look down over the grocery stores.
My watch.
It's great. It's great.
That is great.
So I'm super amped about that. Because right now, you're kind of in the in-between of, oh, hey, we have our choice to do it. We don't have our choice to do it. Now they don't have a choice.
They've got to take it.
They're mandated. So super amped about that. That's what it's called in the biz when you're forced to take it.
That's great.
It's every single store. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you and I or everybody else goes to the grocery store. You see people working there. You don't really know what they do, if they're there to help you, if they're not. Turns out they actually do make the decisions of that singular store, what kind of brands make it, what kind of brands don't. And then when you get big enough, it's mandated by the big dog.
Ooh.
You don't have to deal with anybody anymore, which is nice. It was an old lady at one store and some buttfuck Texas store who was just like, I don't like this. I don't like the name of this product or whatever. I'm not going to carry this at this HE. Now she doesn't have a choice.
Right. Ooh.
Sorry, lady.
Let's go visit her.
The day that it gets there, because I was talking to Ryan Mills about it, I go, the day that it gets there, I'm going to take a quick drive out and just say, hi, do you have this product?
Uh-huh.
Do you have Hard AF Seltzer? Could you lead me to where that is? Because you don't have a choice, lady. And it's great. So congratulations to Ryan Mills on that. It was a massive deal over the weekend. So pretty amped, sent me into the weekend on a high, and then I didn't want to come down.
No.
I did not want to come down from it. I think that I'm there, where I could never do anything again. You know, where I'm like, oh, okay, I could have kept on partying. If you and I were in an empty nest sitch, probably would have gone the rest of the summer, right?
Yeah, I would have just left and gone to some tropical...
And never come back. And just be like, all right, great. Well, this is my life now. I party.
Yep.
And then I party harder
later
on. And I eat lobster tails. Like, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then football games or whatever.
Yeah. So
I'm even knocking over my own liquid IV here.
Yeah, you're really.
Yeesh. Well, we went hard this weekend. Got a little sunburn, as you can see here.
I don't know. I'd like you... You look tan.
On this camera, it doesn't look. In real life, I'm pretty burned. But you tan up great, like a Mexican every single time. So you're awesome, and you're good to go, which is great.
You.
But a lot of crazy shit happening from over the weekend. The Pope said what? I read this article, and whenever something is dashed out like that, and then you have to guess what it is, I thought I knew what it was.
Yeah, did we?
I thought I knew what the word was, and then I read the rest of the article, and I was like, oh, I did not know what that word was. I was incorrect on that. I'm going to spell it out for the audience first before we get to it. But it was F star 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 R Y. Now, what was the first thing that came to mind to you?
I saw F A star star O T N E S S.
Okay, so I didn't. Whoa. N T.
So F A.
Okay.
Star star.
Great.
O T N E S S. What?
Whoa, I did not see that. All right, Bob, pull up the. It's in the Daily Mail. And we'll show this to the audience.
Yeah, this was the headline.
And the headline.
Oh, sorry, I went off the TMZ one. But
no, not at all. So everybody had a different one, and I'm like, man, which word am I thinking of? Go to the Daily Mail one. They've got their start off. There it is. Okay, put that on screen right there.
Okay.
There's already.
So now I don't believe
too
it.
Much. Scroll down.
Yeah, there's a million ads on these fucking websites.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we just
they'll all be gone soon. By the way, Apple's trying to get rid of them. There's already too much. And what word do you think that is? Put the leave it up there. Yeah. I thought it was fuckery.
Yeah, fuckery.
Oh, okay.
Would kind of make sense, even though it's not enough letters to make fuckery.
Well, whenever there's dashes, you're like, hey.
It's one too many.
Yeah, am I counting the dashes? Are they just doing the dashes for the sake of the headline?
Okay.
So I thought it was fuckery in this,
mm-hmm.
that the Pope was saying there's already too much fuckery. What word did you think?
Well, from the TMZ headline.
Okay.
Obviously, we all probably thought the same thing. The stars are on the two G's, right?
Sure. So what word is it? I'll say it if you want.
Oh, faggotness.
So I wasn't going there.
Oh, okay.
I looked at this and then looked at the TMZ one and it was like, faggotry. And I was
sure.
like,
yeah, yeah,
here
yeah.
it is. Okay.
Okay.
So they have faggotness on TMZ,
mm-hmm.
faggotry here, and mm-hmm. I thought it was fuckery. What's the actual quote then, Bob?
Yeah, so what happened? So the headline
Pope
Francis.
So he's describing gay people in the Catholic Church, which obviously Bob and Delco hate. And that's
right,
why they choose
private...
that religion, stand by their religion and everything else. They hate gay people.
We're the nicest ones to gay people. Are you kidding me?
No, Bob.
We are far and away the nicest to gay people.
They're all going to go to hell, right? They're God's children, but they're
as far as religion.
It's not a high bar to clear for also, religion. You just got to be really, really sorry at the end.
Yeah.
And you go to heaven.
As far as religions go, I would say they're probably right. Like hardcore religions. They are probably the most
the
inclusive.
Episcopalians and Presbyterians are like extremely woke on it.
Yeah, but those aren't hardcore. It's like by very definition, they're not that hardcore.
Ross,
right?
You're thinking of evangelicals. Evangelicals are like,
yeah.
Put your kid underwater in the bathtub until he's not gay.
Be careful of a hardcore Christian.
Yeah, but because I remember the Pope saying, look, they're definitely going to hell. They're all God's children, but they're going to hell.
Well, unless
but
they...
But he's like, I got nothing against them, but the law is the law.
It's company law.
Yeah.
Right.
Be nice people. Be nice to them, you know?
So, look, if you're that high up, that's the highest you can get, right, the Pope?
He's working right for Jesus.
Yep.
Right.
He's technically, Jesus, I believe, infallible.
So it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's up to him. He could be the change he wants to see in the world. He just won't do it. And that's fine. To each his own. That's what's weird about religions to me, as none of them are for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So that's fine. Pick whatever one, I guess, fits best and then go from there.
Yeah.
But I was kind of impressed that the Pope had used faggotry. I haven't heard that word before.
He did not technically use that word.
Okay, so what was the word that he actually used then?
Chagini.
I think it was something Italian, right?
Oh, wait, go
Frocagini.
Ahead. Oh, Frocagini.
Frocagini.
I like that. You're just playing it right off of Google.
Yeah.
Because he's not speaking English when he's saying
it. That's great, Bob.
So, and it's a private meeting with other bishops. So he's with his boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Behind closed doorsies.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like,
everybody's cool in here. Like,
yeah, look, I'm already cool.
And by the way, allegedly he was kind of joking when he said this.
So they say.
Do you know what the context was, Ross?
No.
So they were discussing letting openly gay men become priests. You
okay.
know what I mean?
And he was like, he basically was like, I don't know, man. They're already banging each other too much in the seminaries. We let in openly gay dudes, and they're just going to go bananas.
It's true.
Yeah,
so it was
true,
like
yeah.
a kind of joke, but in Italian, whatever he was saying.
It's like Papa John at that board meeting.
He wasn't like, he wasn't like, oh, fucking.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, they already bang each other so much at the seminary. I mean.
Yeah.
And the word that he used, what, in Italian. Yeah.
Which, still not great.
Still not great.
Their context probably, is interesting.
Yeah. Sounds the same.
What's behind closed doors and a wall and a bunch of other dudes and everything else, you know, probably should have stayed there. Who is leaking shit against the Pope? Who does TMZ have on the payroll behind the Vatican wall that's like, hey, dude, I'm going to give you 10K. What did the fuck? Just give me something that
there's
the Pope's
plenty of Vatican insiders that probably don't like a Jesuit in power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly, there's probably plenty of people who would be happy to see him taking down a couple pegs.
I don't know if pegging's the right word here for today's article, but, you know.
It just seems like a joke, too, like TMZ. Pope Francis got all homophobic behind closed Vatican doors. It's like, what?
That's the Catholic Church, brother. Sorry, man.
And I know TMZ is not news, but.
Kind of.
You know.
I've got them ahead of 85% of the rest of real media. No lie.
I mean, as far as
I go to them first or second.
Since the Lil Wayne situation and Kobe.
Since Kobe died, I've got them up in top five that I'm looking for news for now.
Honestly, credit to TMZ. They're not big ever on like editorializing, it feels like. Like they are just like.
They'll say it.
They'll have explosive headlines, but they really do just like give you the facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, Pope is homophobic.
Yeah.
What's new? You know what I mean?
What's fucking new today?
But yeah, this one was a little bit different for a TMZ.
Shout out to Daily Mail though for making me guess like that. I thought fuckery, and I was gonna move on with my day. And I was like, wait a minute. As I continued to read the article, I was like, I think it might be faggotry.
Yeah,
I've never heard that word. Or now, can I not say that word because I like that word now?
Faggotry.
Yeah, that's a fun one. The Pope made up a fun, flirty new. You know, buzzword for TikTok, and turns out no, something totally different.
Yeah.
Let's not use those stars like that. If we're just dotting out, you know, 3/4 a word, like really let us have what it is. And then Bob pressing the button there. Big fan of that. Press that button one more time.
Yeah. Should we hear
what it actually is?
Frocciagini.
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 Yeah.
Frocciagini.
And that means gay in Italian, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
Good for them.
Okay.
Good for them.
It translates to smoothness.
Yeah, it does. Oh, boy. That's even worse. Is it really?
Smoothness?
Well, I mean, but gay doesn't mean homosexual, right? Like in the
heart. But when you're gay, you've got to be smooth. But I mean, like, I don't know. You know, well, there's some bears, I guess. But, you know, most of them are very smooth. So that's a weird stance to take there. But I like it. A lot of fun shit over the weekend happened. First of all, let's talk about tires. I've bitched on the show forever about the death of comedy and that it was never coming back. And we had podcasts.
Yeah.
We got stand-up shows. Mothership. Everything in Austin right now. Comedy's at a peak. I just didn't know that it would extend into television. Shane Gillis. Big podcaster, fired from SNL, has not been bigger, can't get any bigger, I didn't think. Show was number one in the world on Netflix over J-Lo's new movie.
Wow, now is that hard?
Well, Jesus, man. She needs to just fucking quit doing shit. We watched that last week. But it was number one over that.
A lot of people watched that fucking J-Lo.
I know, they did.
Atlas.
Atlas was number two or three, and Tires was number one, but... They spent about $80 on Tires TV show, and they spent about $80 million on J-Lo's movie. So there's the difference. One, loved it. I thought it was fucking hilarious. They shot it on their own. They paid for it on their own. They wrote it. He casted it on his own. Everything else, which was great. If you're wondering why it was so low budget, because I got that comment a bunch over the weekend of like, I don't understand that it just didn't leave there. It was like, well, when it's your own money... One, you got to cut down. Two, the office never left the office, essentially, for a very, you know, a couple times here and there, and that's kind of it. The success of it, it's already been picked up for a season two, which is great news. The success of it will allow them to do other stuff and probably hire writers, but I don't know that I would get out of that aesthetic the way it is, because I liked it, and it, we all know what a dirty old tire shop is, and we've all been there, and we all hate those goddamn people more than life itself, and it was a fun peek behind the curtain in that world.
Now, this is going to shock you.
What's up?
Absolutely shock you.
Oh, that you hated it?
Someone in this producer desk hated the show.
Delco hasn't seen it.
It wasn't Bob. Was it Bob? Bob hated the show?
I haven't seen it yet.
Wasn't a big fan.
Wow.
Wasn't a big fan?
No, he came in. It was more than not a fan.
I mean,
unbelievable.
Own your takes.
He has
a big fan.
You're the one.
Opinions. Okay.
You're the one.
Opinions.
What didn't you like about it? Let me ask you that.
We had a healthy debate, and I think we both saw the other person's side, but go ahead, Bob.
I just, like, the acting was really bad. I mean, it was like a web series. And to the point where they didn't even hire actors.
They didn't have money, but yes.
No, they got exactly who they wanted in that. Like that's
but they're not
that's
paying those people a lot.
No, but that's who they
they're
want.
They're like, come shoot this with me. I bet they didn't have to pay Schultz
that
anything.
Is definitely who they wanted in the show. And yeah, I think they cast all the people that they wanted to and everything else. A lot of those people in the office weren't actors before that show.
They all were.
They all
no.
were.
The only people who weren't were Ryan and Kelly.
Creed.
Creed was.
Ryan and Kelly. Creed was not. He was in a band. He was in a weird, like, hippie band in the 70s.
But also, he didn't have lines until, like, the second or third season. Like, he wasn't a main character. And you're right, Phyllis also was, she was a casting agent, but again, had, like, one or two lines. I'm talking, like, the lead, not an actor.
Yeah,
like, truly, like, it didn't land. Nothing landed for me.
Bob, you're the one. All right. Well, look, there's always one person
and I like
that hates
all that
it.
Type
exactly
of humor.
Right.
It's not like I'm like, oh, I didn't
know. No,
like
I know.
Cancer.
So it was an interesting take when I walked in and he was like, oh, he's like, did you see tired? Look at like,
man, I didn't hear one person. Yeah.
He was screaming about it, right? Yeah.
Furious.
Furious. Like, yeah. I was like, oh,
he was like,
let
more
me,
like tired fire.
Yeah, I'm like, let me sit down for like a second. But I was like, coming from him, I'm like, all right, let's have a talk about it.
Sure.
Saw his side.
It's gotten to the point where I'm sure you know this and hate this, but like, and hated it back in the day, but like, you know, everyone hates studio notes,
yep.
Right? That's the thing. Like everyone, writers, directors, everybody complains about studio notes, but like, man, the pendulum swung too far.
Well,
where there is just no adult in the room.
I have I have an answer for that.
Second season, though,
because
they'll be way more involved in that.
I have an answer for that. So the way that the time codes worked out, and I said this to you when we were watching it, they clearly made that to shop to everyone. So that wasn't just Netflix. I think their first intention was FX. Just because it was 2130, it was identical. Every single episode was identical.
They shot it to have like commercials. Network,
yeah.
Yep. Whatever.
That's good though. That's yep. fine.
And but here's what I'm saying. With that, when you're going in there, Shane Gillis, it is a take it or leave it sitch. Either you want to buy this, you're not giving me notes. I don't really give a shit. I'm turning in these six, and this is what we're doing. I'm not going back and reshooting this.
Shot the whole season ahead of time.
Yes.
Yes. So as opposed to like I told you with Tom Segura, where he shot a pilot kind
right.
of, and yep. then was like, if you want to pick this up, you can pay for all of it, you know?
These yeah. guys shot the entire season ahead of time, and they said, this is what we want. Fuck off. This is what we're turning in, and either you like it or we'll see you on down the road. And I think, here's my honest, I'll go even further with this. I think their dream probably was FX to start with. Because of The Bear and their, I mean, their endless well, hits over there.
It's always sunny.
Always sunny.
Always sunny.
And they were like, we're gonna be
all
the
of
new.
It. And it's and then Netflix saw the numbers from his stand-up special, and said, look, what is FX offering you? We'll double it. Just let's keep it here, and then we'll keep it in house. And they announced season two before the series even dropped. So I mean, 48 hours in advance, they were like, we're doing season two. I think that was all planned. I think Netflix backed up the fucking truck, and they did it.
I
think next season you'll have more money for not only budget, but you'll have money for writers and all the fun stuff. And then everybody and their mother is going to want to guest star on it because it was so beloved over the weekend. Everybody will want to come out for that actor-wise and all that shit. So I expect it to only go higher and higher that share. Because you have a long runway with that right now. And I think it's only going to get better with money.
And it's not that big of a deal. Like, most first seasons suck.
Right.
Like, the first season of Parks and Rec is fucking terrible.
Because they're just doing an office.
Yeah, the first season of Seinfeld. No one watches the first season of Seinfeld.
Right. Like, they're finding their...
Yeah, they'll find their rhythm and everything. Their way. But I just, like, out of the gate, I was like, yeah. I'll come back. I want it to succeed. I'm glad it's succeeding.
Yeah. We forced you to
come
back.
Did you have any...
You didn't.
Yeah, we did. We were like, you should give it more than two episodes.
Yeah, you weren't going to...
Oh, did you not watch
to...
the full six?
I couldn't get through it.
I see where you're coming from, and then you're going to kind of give it another chance. I maybe you sip on a brown liquor sometimes, right, when you're watching?
Yeah.
Maybe kind of, you know, pour a full glass, right? Chill. Get loose. Get open-minded.
We watched them all back to back.
And just give it another go, Bob.
I guess so.
Sarah in the chat says getting canceled is the best thing that ever happened to Shane Gillis. You're absolutely right. Especially for his style of comedy. Holy shit, man. To your point, I even went back and looked at like some old interviews over the weekend of that time when he got canceled, and his friends did a podcast. His best friends, I guess he was living with two guys. I didn't recognize them, by the way. They weren't famous, but and they were talking about that time period of how fucking miserable it was for him. And they were like, "Man, we would just be playing Madden all day and getting fucked up, and then the phone would ring." And it would be somebody really important on the other end. Shane would have to walk into it to the bedroom, pause the game, and it would be somebody yelling at him for how bad he fucked up by blowing this SNL thing. Mm-hmm. And then he'd walk back in and be like, "All right, unpause the game," and then continue to play. And he's like, it was fucking miserable. But mm-hmm. the way that comedy has kind of shifted, and I'll go back to what Delco has said maybe about 5 or 6 months ago on the show, that there will be a change. I didn't know if there was going to be a change. I'm not necessarily saying it's tires as a whole, but I think it's a very good start. I think you're going to start to see more and more things like that, more and more comedians doing that. FX's whole shit from the get-go was like, "Hey, dude, we'll give you $250K. If you can make something cool with it, awesome. And then we'll give you money afterwards and a budget and everything else. But your first shot, because we don't know who you are, what you're fucking doing, is $250,000. And then if it does well, we'll go from there." And I think you're going to see more and more of that out of Netflix, maybe some other streamers. And then this AI thing is getting more and more fun. I saw the Donald Glover thing over the weekend, and everyone's going to be able to tell their story, put their script in, do all their things. And it'll be the best stories win. The best comedy will win. And just give it a couple years now. So I'm on your side now, Delco, after looking at the rest of it. Because when you have guys like Donald Glover that are reaching out to Google and using this technology, where it's just like, "Hey, man, do you mind if I start fucking around with this over the weekend?" It's going to get fun. And you're not going to have to worry about diversity or hiring an armless guy to be your DP or any of that shit. You'll just be able to make it on your own. The best content will win. The funniest stories will win. The best dramas will win in the end. And it's just going to be a massive shift coming up. But I think Tires was a very good start for that. Because he could have sold it to wherever he wanted to.
And it gave me some hope.
Same.
Of like, look.
Same. Yep.
We could shoot a pilot of something.
If
they get to that point where they're like, "Dude, we need fucking content. We don't care."
They do.
Like, you don't
and
have to
be
Shane Gillis. Yeah. You don't have to be whatever. Because remember, Netflix back in the day was buying, like, that's where you would go to see weird indie movies.
Yep.
That's where you go to see like weird shit that you couldn't see anywhere else. That
Netflix
they just
used to be a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there's going to be a section in place for that, I'm kind of stoked about that.
Yeah. And then, the other side of this is the docs are picking up, and those are still amazing. We just finished The Jinx season 2. Holy shit, man. I mean, it was just as good as season 1. I can't believe it. Fucking 8 years later.
I know.
They decide to follow up on this story. He's dead, obviously, so they could, and they could say and do whatever they wanted to. Also, because he died, you were able to go back and edit that footage however you wanted to. It's not like you had to dance around anything because he's fucking dead. So,
well, they never had to dance around anything. So the thing with the Jinx, like,
well,
he was the
last episode.
Yeah, but they didn't have
to. The FBI still came down and said, "Hey, man, you're going to tell us that you fucking edited this at the very end of your series and didn't know that this guy murdered three people?" I mean, they were pissed, and there's no way to. There was no way to know when they edited it, when they knew the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
But the guy who shot it knew the answer the second it happens. Like, he fucking murdered these people. You could have just turned that footage into the FBI, and there would have been no show whatsoever. Hey, go arrest this dude. But they decided to make a series out of it.
Hey, listen. When you spend that much, when you get gold, like documentary gold, which is what we all, you know, what anyone wants when they're making a documentary is some crazy twist or something at the end, and you get it, what are you going to do? Spoil? You spent a really long time on it. And he could also say, like, I didn't see it. I had left. It was the sound guy. And then when we were going through edits and, like, syncing up sound and stuff, that's when we found it. You know, so.
He knew. They all fucking knew. They all capitalized on it. Bravo. I don't care either way. The guy ended up going to jail. And who knew 8 years later it would be an even better story. I didn't know the fucking guy died, what, a month after being convicted?
Yeah.
Holy shit,
before
dude.
His appeal. So he never really technically got convicted.
Nope. No.
Robert Durst, yeah. He's a very interesting interesting villain, interesting character, really smart fucking crazy person.
Yes. Even smarter to hire that woman who is his wife.
Mary, the woman.
He did genuinely marry her, and it's a real marriage, but she, make no mistake, she did nothing but work for him. I mean, they didn't spend 1 second together, other than on the phone discussing where they should hide money and shit. And then she was able to turn that money into hundreds of millions of dollars herself. Like, what a wild fucking story.
It's a real feminist tale, I think.
Well, it should be.
That last scene of her, like, anyways, The Jinx Part 2. I know it seems like, what, Part 2? Check it out.
It is. It's on HBO or whatever they're calling it now.
Jinx, Max. Jinx was like one of the best crime documentaries probably ever made.
If not the. Probably that and Making a Murderer, I would say. That kind of blew up everything. To like a whole nother level. I feel like everybody watched Making a Murderer as well, where we were like, holy shit.
Yeah, but.
And it convinced everybody that that creepy fat guy didn't do it, except for me. I was like, no, he definitely killed that girl. Like, what the fuck are we doing here?
No, well, everyone.
No justice, no peace for everyone Stephen
knows
Avery.
Now because, you know, they got to see the footage in full and not the curated. So that was the difference where, like, The Jinx was just like, this is what happens. This is all the headlines. This is all the evidence. This guy freaking did it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's worth a watch. I'll say this. If you haven't watched the first one, watch them back to back. I'm jealous, man.
Oh, if you haven't seen The Jinx.
I know. It's incredible. And yeah, it rocks. Do you even want to bring up the Richard Dreyfuss thing over the weekend at Jaws? Like, is that, or have we just checked out on celebrities of that age? How old is Richard Dreyfuss, Bob? I would say 83 at this point.
76.
Whoa.
76.
Not
super old. Not like get away with anything old, you know what I mean? But pretty old.
Boy, it's odd. Obviously, he was a massive, massive movie star back in the day. Jaws, he was in What About Bob, which, you know, two fucking all-time classics. I mean, go through his resume. It's
Mr.
gnarly.
Holland's Opus.
Oh, Mr. Holland groped us. Did he win an Oscar for that?
I'll check.
Definitely
for
nominated.
Mr. Holland groped us?
Definitely nominated, I think.
And did he grope those kids? Or do we ever get the answer for that?
Who, Dreyfuss or?
Mr. Holland.
Oh, I don't.
Not Dreyfuss, but the teacher.
Yep. Let's see here.
He's got a banger of a resume.
Was nominated for Best Actor for Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here if he's got any other Academy Award nominations. He won Best Actor for The Goodbye Girl.
The Goodbye Girl. Okay, I don't know that actually. But he won an Oscar.
Is that Streisand?
He won Best Actor for Goodbye Girl. Huh. He was nominated for Mr. Holland's Opus, and that was it. The Goodbye Girl stars him. It's from the 70s. I think he's like the youngest winner ever. Oh,
I wasn't
that.
Born.
Marsha Mason. Yeah, no Streisand in that.
Okay. Either way, great long career. Always known for just being an asshole behind the scenes. Shocked that nobody else really knew about this, I guess, but
yeah,
whatever.
I didn't. He was in a time where you didn't know.
Yeah, it's true. There was no cell phones or anything. But recently, The movie he shunned for years and years was Jaws and thought it was cheesy and everything else. I don't know if he needs money or what the story is. I mean, every actor, I guess, does now at this point because they're not really making them. He's been doing a shit ton of these Comic-Cons every summer for Jaws. Jaws is still beloved, and it still holds up, by the way. If you haven't watched it, I took Jax to see it at Carolina Beach, the movie, you know, the outdoor movie in the summer. It's awesome, man. They do it, you know, at beaches, lakes, rivers, like, you know, pools. Pools will show it and everything, and you get to sit in the water and have fun. Pretend like you're a part of it. It's great. But he's been doing a lot of them, which is surprising. I guess he needs cash for it.
Yeah.
Because he never liked it, didn't really like working on it, and said everybody was a fucking asshole, and then he was an asshole to work with. So, all right, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs cash, and it's like, oh, hey, yeah, cool. We're signing movie posters
Ask
and all that.
Ask me all the questions you want.
Right.
Yeah.
So he shows up at some beach resort Comic-Con thing and gets on stage, starts talking about politics and his beliefs in life and all that other shit. No need to really get into it, but at that age, people were booing and some people had walked out allegedly. At that age, it's exactly what I said to Steve Martin, who right before he blocked me.
Sure.
Can we just remember you for who you were? Like, nobody would have even known the Richard Dreyfuss stories, to be honest with you. They've just been like, oh, yeah, he was a great fucking actor, and then that's it.
You know what's weird about the Jaws thing, though, is that I've read that too, that he's a huge fucking asshole on set. He worked with Spielberg 2 more times after that.
Yeah.
So I must not have been a dick to Spielberg.
No one's a dick to Spielberg. Well, but
John Spielberg, Spielberg.
Oh, true.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I will say this, because I've hired people that I didn't necessarily like as people, but they were so fucking good that I'm like, all right, man, I'll put up with it because you know the performance is going to be amazing. So, yeah. Like, I'm sure working with Daniel Day-Lewis isn't a fucking day at the park.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he's the best there is. Even Scorsese's trying to get him back for a movie right now, and he's like, no, I'm retired, and I'm not fucking doing it. So yeah, you'll definitely put up with it. There's a lot of crew members and all that shit that I've put up with over the years that, I mean, I fucking hated, but they were so talented. I was just like, eh.
Yeah.
I'll do it for, you know, a month, 2 months, or whatever, and then I'll never see these people again. But yeah.
Yeah. So it was weird because they weren't saying. There wasn't a lot of footage on it, so they weren't saying what he actually said. And, you know, I think we've been desensitized to people saying, like, transphobic, homophobic, misogynistic, like, to where you go, what did he say?
Uh-huh.
Because you can say, you know, attacked, you could say abused, aggressive, you know, and you go, like, what? And it, like, wasn't really that.
Yeah.
But it was probably offensive, and it was an old man being just like saying stuff that's like, bleh,
but
you know.
let's have an age limit where we just don't give them the microphone. Like, there's no, it's not helping. And I love Jaws. I love the movie Jaws. I don't want to know any stories. If you're an asshole, I don't want to know any stories about it. I just don't. I just want to enjoy the film itself. So yeah, you having your own agenda for a screening that everybody's stoked to see for a summer movie that. And right now, and we'll get to this in a second, there is no summer movies. Like, it's just shitty. And just, it's the same that I think is said of Steve Martin. Just at a certain age, let's just cut it off and be like, hey, dude, talk about some happy shit or get the fuck out of here. That's certainly what I want to do. Like, after all this is said and done, I'm turning off the social media and everything else. Cool, man. All good. And then if my kids want to be little dicks to people, like, great, do
it. It's something about age and Facebook, though, that they just get really into issues again, like everyone gets served.
It is currently happening right now, and I don't know if you just did this on purpose.
Well, but everyone knows, like, their algorithm is their algorithm. Like, don't think for 1 second that what you're getting is what everyone else is getting, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, did you see? It's like, no, I probably didn't see it because I'm not on that side of it, right? But the way, I don't think they quite understand how that works, so they're just like, well, you know, they get.
So
really political later.
Right now, this is happening live, and maybe we'll talk about it with our guests this afternoon. We get one of the hosts from InfoWars on Drinking Bros this afternoon. Robert De Niro showed up to do a rally outside the Trump trial in New York right now, and they gave him a microphone. He's got notes and cue cards and is stumbling through it and all of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
How fucking old is he? He's got to be 82 or 3.
Old enough to have a newborn. That's all I'm going to say.
He's 80.
He's 80?
He's older than a Dreyfus.
Damn it, dude.
The Trump fans were shouting, your movies suck.
Well, and then he yelled back, we're trying to be gentlemen in this world, the Democrats. You are all fucking gangsters. Fuck all of you.
Okay.
So, sure. I mean, look. Why are you there? Why are you outside the Trump trial right now doing a rally for yourself? Like, at Robert De Niro? What the fuck are you doing, dude? Yeah. What are you fucking doing right now?
He's trying to make a better world for his tiny newborn baby.
You know what,
Rob? He's getting back into it because he's almost like he's re-energized, almost like a college kid being like, I want a better world. Like, before he was like, I'm going to be dead. Like, fuck it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have his assistant fucking scratch his back and do all the, you know, whatever. Give her miles, take it back. He was just kind of like, I don't care. And now he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just.
I got to do speeches.
But the other thing, too, is they're not really making movies. So I don't know that he has time to do any. Like, there's no, you know, he's got all this time on his hands. And so does Richard Dreyfuss, where you're just like, yeah. What am I going to do today? Let's go to the Trump trial. And give a speech down there. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Because the movies that are coming out are bombing. I don't know if you guys saw these, but did you guys watch Furiosa this weekend? Mad Max?
No interest.
No.
Why is that? Let me ask you that.
Everyone was all hyped on that last movie, and I just didn't care about it. Like, it was pretty whatever to me. And this one, like an origin story for the main character of that movie, like, no.
I'll go see it.
So, I would say
they switch personalities. These two,
I know.
Huh?
I like it.
They're trying on something a little bit different.
Delco goes and sees the Grateful Dead, comes back as a whole new person. I love it. Maybe he should go once a month,
just for a little bit. It'll go back. It'll switch back.
I like the new Delco. So I went over the weekend. I'll tell you why. In IMAX, it came on. The trailer of that came on before the trailer of Dune 2, and I thought it was aesthetically one of the most beautiful films that I had ever seen as far as a trailer goes. And I was like, fuck, I'm all in on this. You guys know me. I'm not a sci-fi make-em-up dude. I certainly don't give a shit about origin stories or whatever the fuck it is. I don't even know that much about Mad Max, to be honest with you. I've seen each movie one time in my life, and then that's it. I don't know the world. I don't know anything about it. First of all, if you are going to see it, definitely go see it in IMAX. It was every bit as beautiful as advertised, shot amazingly. Holy shit. Whatever technology that laser technology is, you feel like you're inside the goddamn movie, and it's a blast. 2 hours and 45 minutes is way too long for all this bullshit. Stop doing it. That's one of the reasons why it bombed over the weekend. Two, Chris Hemsworth, please just accept the fact that you're a great actor. You are good looking. You cannot put on a fake Humpty Dance nose and a fake beard and a weird accent, and that's not it, dude. You're a movie star. You're a good actor. There's just no need from hiding from it or trying to change. We're not changing Thor at this point. We're just not. Like, you're not Christian Bale where you're going to drop down to 130 pounds and do The Machinist.
You're just not. You're good. You're not Christian Bale.
Right.
So just like be good and hot.
Happy with it. Yes. Be happy with it. Because I really like him, and it's so distracting. That he was like the lead of this thing with this weird Humpty Dance nose. It's just, you're staring at it the whole movie where you're like, I can't. And then false teeth, like these bucked false teeth too, that kind of gave him like an accent and everything. And you're like, man, it had nothing. He was in a totally different movie than whenever that was. Everybody else was great in it. The chick who was the lead from Queen's Gambit, she was great. The visuals fucking rocked, and it was the lowest box office in 41 years for Memorial Day. The other movie that came out, because they usually have two of them, and they kind of counteract each other. You usually have an R, and then you have a PG movie. And the other one was Garfield. Mm-hmm. Now that one, Chris Pratt is a wonderful actor. He's a good-looking guy. He's funny.
He's not wonderful.
He's pretty good. He's a pretty good actor.
What?
I liked him in Parks and Rec. I liked him in, I'll go old school. I'll go CW. I'll go Gilmore Girls. He was good.
He was one of the highlights of season 4 of the OC.
Yes.
When they were trying to slap together.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
I like Chris Pratt. If you're going to do a comic book movie, or I'm saying not a comic book movie, a cartoon movie, and just not even give a shot, like one shot at doing the voice of the character, like Super Mario or Garfield. Mm-hmm. I don't know what difference does that make? That, like, you're not going to see it because it's Chris Pratt. Just get a real person who can do the voice.
Yeah.
And was Bill Murray booked? Like, he's not booked. He wasn't doing anything. Just rehire Bill and get the voice in there. It's animated. It's 2 days.
He accidentally did the first one. So I don't think that he would purposely do another one.
But the joke for him doing the second one was even better, where he goes, oh man, I didn't even do this. Can I do? And they were like, no, what's the dollar amount? And he goes, I don't know, man. I just double it. And they were like, cool, we'll do it. Okay. And then he did the second one. That's a true story.
Okay.
And he goes, it's 48 hours worth of work for him.
Right.
2 days. Oof. All he had to work. And he got, I think, I don't know, $12 million for the sequel or whatever. Get him for this, but as far as these two go, it's not great. People are wondering if it's the end of movies at the box office. No, it's not. That Wolverine movie, I looked it up behind the scenes. It is already pre-sold over $100 million in pre-sale tickets for weekend one. And that's not walk-ups. So, like, dude, that thing could pass $200 million opening
for
weekend.
What weekend?
Wolverine and Deadpool. And
when?
July. Look at pre-sale. The exact date. Pre-sale. Already.
Who does that?
Exactly. And when I got to the movie theater, they asked me, they were like, hey,
do that.
They go, would you like to buy? And I go, no, I don't even know where I'll be in 2 months. I don't even know if I'll be alive.
July 26th.
Yeah. That's 2 months from now. I don't even know if I'll be alive then. So no, I'm not going to pre-order movie tickets.
Yeah.
Maybe a concert or an Ohio State game or something like that.
Sure.
I'm not going to do it for a movie. Give me the 6:15 on July 27th, please.
Who are people that, how are you getting those numbers? That's bots. Nobody buys
they do.
That far in
so
advance.
That's going to be a good 2 weeks.
I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked. So the last time that there was pre-sales this high was Taylor Swift, and they were correct. The numbers were correct. She did it, and I think people are amped about this. I watched the trailer. I finally saw the full-length trailer of Deadpool and Wolverine. Again, a movie that I'm not, you know, you guys know me. I'm not into fucking comic book movies. And even I was like, yeah, dude, I'll go see this opening weekend. Like, it looked fucking awesome.
It's the same people that, like, on Christmas put the fucking antlers on the car, the red nose in the front, you know.
I like those people, though.
I'm just saying, like, it is so far. Whenever I see those cars and stuff like that, I go, could never be me.
Couldn't be you, but
I enjoy it,
and I enjoy the Christmas spirit of it all. And
I know, I just, like, don't have, like, how are you that organized in life? They're like, and then from here, I bring out, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we aren't.
What, Delco, you
we
like
aren't,
it?
But there's
you
other
put
people.
It on yours?
No, I don't. But I was thinking that's more of the people that watched Atlas this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, but did they watch?
The type of people that are that organized to put those things on the car, take them off, put them back in a box, keep them for next year, they're buying movie tickets 2 weeks in advance. I'm just saying.
But here's my theory on Atlas, because there's another one coming out on July 3rd. It's, I just saw the trailer for it last night. It's Beverly Hills Cop. It's coming straight to Netflix, 4th of July weekend. Let's fucking party. The trailer looks good enough that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great, but it looks good enough that I'm in. I think with Atlas, I think with inflation the way it is, everything is so fucking expensive. It was hot as shit here this weekend. If you don't have the money to go out to the thing or take your kids out to the thing or do whatever, let's say you can afford to go to the grocery store and then sit home and watch a blockbuster movie. Because before Netflix, Atlas probably would have been in movie theaters. I think that's what you're doing, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just wish it was a better film.
I think the issue is people just know that movies are only out for like 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yep.
They're going to be immediately available on streaming services, so they'll wait.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you just leave them in the movies for a little longer, or like there's a, if you can't see Dune or you can't see any of these big time films for like 6 months to 7 months, it might, you know, cause people to go out to the movies.
The wild thing too was we were watching The Jinx last night, finishing it up on Max. The thing underneath it that said, hey, would you like to watch the next thing, was Dune 2. And I looked at Jesse and I was like, there's no way this is out on HBO already. I clicked it and it was. I also clicked it to see the quality of it. I'm really fucking amped that I got to see that in IMAX, because that does not do it justice, whatever that is. That was clearly made for a big screen and a big event. And grateful I got to see it in IMAX versus that thing, because like I was telling her how impressive it was, and I, then I turned it on, she was like, oh, and I was like, yeah, this didn't look like that in the movie theaters.
Right, but for every one of you and me, right, that love the visuals and everything, there's a Rob who doesn't give a shit about the visuals.
It's
and
true.
Only cares about the writing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't only care about the writing, but it didn't blow me away. It didn't blow me away.
Hey, Bob, here's the good news, though. I'll go back to what I said earlier.
Keep it up, Rob. You have to do it for the rest of the show now.
I was watching the president of Netflix this morning giving a speech about, because they're going into, you know, what their movies are going to be and then the quarterly reports and all that other bullshit. And he goes, look, are we going to implement more AI in all of this stuff? Yes. And I think they were specifically referring to Atlas on this. But he goes, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to replace great writing and great storytellers. And he goes, you're always, always going to need that. And even James Cameron came out and backed that statement up. And he goes, look, unless one of these fucking things ends up winning best screenplay at the Oscars, he goes, you're still going to need the best storytellers. And I agree with that. You're just going to shape it in a different way.
So I think the wrong people are pissed off in this AI debate. So it's like, the actors are pissed off, the whatever, you know, the writers are pissed off, the directors.
The writers shouldn't be.
The writers and the
editors
actors.
And the editors shouldn't be.
It's kind of like.
No, the editors, cinematographers, like.
The cream's going to rise to the top.
It will.
The writers, right?
Yeah. Like,
it's going to almost kind of be similar to when golf rolls the golf ball back. The guys that are pissed off are going to be the guys that hit the longest, but they're still going to hit the longest of all the guys.
Yeah.
And it's just going to separate the scrubs from like the elite.
And then Bob's going to be forced to write his own TV show, and then we'll actually get to see if Bob was right or wrong. You know?
Dude, I want than to write a script and then plug it into AI and have them animate it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like,
100%.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's the world I want to live in.
Same, because I still think at the end of the day there's going to be great writers, shitty writers, and then that content will separate itself and everybody will make their own decisions.
I think his is going to be, we'll use the same font as Tires and everything, and it's just going to be called HOA.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And like, it would be really funny. Just from your tweets alone, Bob, you could do it. But they're not going to replace.
Bob's got a really good Twitter feed if you don't follow it, by the way. I enjoy it.
Going kind of viral right now for a drunk tweet last night.
Yeah, I follow your Twitter. Tell everybody what it is. You have a really good Twitter.
Rob Fox 3.
Yeah.
It's
a very good Twitter.
It was a drunk tweet last night?
What the fucking
He's just talking about Angel Hernandez.
That one's really
umpire.
Good.
Yeah,
the umpire retired. I didn't think anything of it, and it's like going insane. It's not even like totally factually accurate, but it's like,
how many likes and all that shit?
31,000.
Oh my god, dude! It's
been seen by 1.7 million.
How many followers do you have?
I have like 17,000.
That's great.
What's
that's really going viral then?
That's
like a true thing that goes viral on its own. That's not somebody with a huge following that's going viral. Like, that's awesome. If you don't follow Bob's Twitter, it is very good actually. But go ahead and read it.
So Angel Hernandez retired. He's like the worst umpire in fucking history.
The worst. The goddamn worst.
Like, truly. And anyway, I tweeted this last night, like, pretty drunk. I was just like, people really don't talk enough about how Angel Hernandez, arguably the worst umpire of all time, tried to sue the MLB for racism for not assigning him to playoff games. And in court, MLB just wheeled out a TV and showed how dog shit he was at his job. Which is like
exactly what happened, though.
Yeah.
Which is like tongue in cheek, true. I don't know if they like wheeled like a
right, but they
TV
usually
out,
do.
But they were just like, they just pointed, to like basic statistics.
I think you brought up a better point off mic where you're like, it's now case law.
Oh yeah, so the funniest,
against unions.
I was gonna talk about this with Dan on Fake News later if he brought this up, but the Angel Hernandez is such a piece of shit that he accidentally. Or just didn't care that he fucked over like all unions in America with his lawsuit, possibly.
Yeah.
Because the MLB subpoenaed his performance review from the umpire union, and unions and employees have like a de facto attorney-client privilege.
You
can't get the inside stuff. But the MLB was like, well, that is relevant, so we're going to have to kind of like, the judge was like, that is relevant, so we're actually going to need that. So now there is case law. And there's case law and precedent that says you can get stuff from privileged meetings between unions and their employees.
Which is the whole point of a union.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and that is thanks to Angel Hernandez. So if you're a cop and you get fucked over with your union, a teacher, a mechanical worker, and this happens to you, it might be because this asshole is such a stubborn piece of shit that he can't accept that he's bad at his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he had to be like, there's got to be some other reason that I'm not getting put on the playoff. And you're just like,
No, you're just terrible at your job, and that's it.
You're just terrible. Yeah. And in this industry, and really, it's just about that. It's sports.
One court ruling like this, too, lives forever, and it's case law, and then they'll cite it forever. Mm-hmm. And
it's precedent, basically.
There was one that I lost years ago, and I told this fucking lawyer, I go, he's like, well, you know, this happens. And I go, no, you just set a precedent for case law. And I go, Tom Cruise could now be sued in any state in America for some dumb, frivolous thing. And you lost this easy case. And I go, that's on you. Like forever, they're going to cite this goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. And Angel Hernandez is the same way. Yes, you could cite that anywhere. And it could potentially fuck over a lot of people just for being terrible at your job. Yeah. But he is gone. And I wonder when I saw that, because it was so surprising and it happened on Memorial Day weekend, that if it just social media didn't get to him, where it was just like, oh, my God, I can't take one more Angel Hernandez tweet about myself and I've got to quit.
That was what turned the corner, was essentially like Twitter being like, look at this fucker's call again.
Because you're in the middle of the season. He could have just retired at the end of the season and just been like, cool.
No.
The word on the street is the MLB bought him out.
Because they didn't want to deal with it?
Yeah. The MLB was just
and he was under
out.
Some kind of like contract and shit.
It's like a professor where you're on tenure.
He could not be fired. Can't be fired. The union was hardcore, just dug in for him.
Yeah. Isn't that fucking wild?
Yeah.
Man, dude. Delco, you went to the Sphere this weekend. I want to chat about that. So you saw The Dead. I saw your Instagram. Mm-hmm. It looked fucking dope. You know, obviously we went. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Incredible,
yeah.
Right?
It's the best thing our generation's ever built.
I think so, too. We're right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Maybe the 20th century, 21st century, it's the best thing ever created.
Yes. Yeah. So how was the crowd? It was for the Grateful Dead, right?
It was interesting. There was a bunch of, like, you know, old deadheads, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds, like, just weirdly dancing and just kind of, like, jerking them, their bodies.
Oh, they were on some old-school acid that they had, like, saved for years, right? Yeah.
And then there was, like, kids my age.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've fucking they've superseded everything.
I mean, John Mayer's been playing with them for 9 years.
So that's what I wanted to ask
it's
you. Did he play
vibe.
With him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was Mayer face all over.
Oh, was there really?
Oh, Mayer
face. How was that on drugs? I'm assuming you were on drugs.
Yeah. I took an edible that was too intense. And kind of, honestly.
Mayer face?
He needs to go back and do different drugs.
I need to do mushrooms.
I offered them to you.
I know, but he's
rude. I know, I didn't want to fly with him.
He's a good boy.
Oh, okay.
I'm a rule follower. Right.
We're going to change that.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, Mayer face. Like this on the big screen space. Just imagine that.
On drugs? No
this
way.
This is one of the more tame faces, no way, too.
I know. Dude. There's got to be one where he's making that, like, hitting that chord. Yeah.
Body. Right when he says body.
Yeah.
Wonderland. Yeah, like
if
that.
You don't, if you don't look at the face.
I know, he's great
it
looking
sounds
dude.
Great.
A lot of the
he's
cameras, they would go to his face and then immediately go back to his hands.
Smart.
Yeah.
Because
smart.
They didn't want to like show his face. But they're like, oh, look how talented he is on guitar.
Smart. And he is. He's one he's one of the most talented,
I'm trying to find one specifically from a Dead show.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, if you just type in John Mayer guitar face, there's a million of them that pop up. I've used them forever.
Because he's doing it. There's no way for him not to do it. So
there it is. The one where he's retarded right there with a striped shirt. That's the one that I always use for friends. Yep. So that's where I use for friends and family.
That one.
This one's in like my text threads with people.
So this over like the dancing bears.
Yeah. And like the crazy desert. Visuals, the desert one, the like.
Oh,
gosh.
I haven't been to a Dead show in a very, very long time. I enjoyed it, but it was the last of Jerry actually played. So he died a month later. I haven't been since because I think most of them are dead, right? Is there only one that's still alive?
Yeah.
One.
Which one? Do you know?
You could pick him out of the crowd
sings.
For sure.
I mean, he's their old drummer.
He's the old drummer. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But the music carries on, and it's fun. And those shows, I always say this about The Dead and Fish in particular, they're more about the experience of it, where I just went to a Fish show a couple years ago with my buddies, and it was great. It's just for the experience of it, you know? A
couple years ago.
Colossus and them. I went Tristan.
I want to see them in the Sphere. They're the residents.
I was with you. You were at your parents' house. I went to the Hollywood Bowl. What was it? A residence where?
The Fish. They're doing a residency at the Sphere right now.
Yeah, so that's what kind of threw me off. Did The Dead take over that residency or not?
I think, they probably don't play every single day, right? There might be, like, some days where The Dead are there, then, like, they have some other fucking concert, but, like, The Fish are just kind of, like, there every week or whatever.
Okay, gotcha. But, yeah, gotcha.
Bob Weir's the only one that's still around.
Oh, Bob Weir's still alive?
Yeah.
Shit. He's number two in that band.
They played for fucking 4 hours, and he was, towards the end, he was like catching his breath. He was struggling.
Yeah.
Well, 4 hours for anyone is
it took some intense breaks, though, and that between they would have like these dudes just playing crazy like instruments and just like drumming on different things.
Didgeridoos and shit like that. I'm in. I love all that
fun.
Shit. I'm in.
Seriously.
I'm in.
And that's when the visuals really hit.
Yeah. And I'm always in for that shit. And like, yeah, it's just the experience and a fun time.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
I'll never get tired of that or Fish, where it's just like, all right, cool. That's dope. How was the rest of the weekend? Because it says here that Vegas was the number one destination for all of Memorial Day. Was it packed?
Wasn't too bad. No, we were off the strip. We're at the old Hard Rock, which is now the Virgin.
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah. Did they fucking do that hotel the way they do the rest of the shit? Because Virgin had the best flight. Virgin has the best everything. And then it just doesn't last because it's usually super expensive.
Yeah, it was dope. I got to upgrade to a suite for like $20 a night.
God damn it. Richard Branson does it right, dude. Man. Remember those flights you and I used to take from New York to
Richard
LA?
Is it a Richard Branson property?
Yes.
The Virgin?
Yes, he owns all of them.
It at least used to be.
Big Dick Branson, man.
Yeah. Dude, Virgin flights, fuck.
Oh, dude.
There was a lot of times where I had to go back from LA to New York, and if we didn't get that Virgin flight, I was pissed off about it. It was the only plane that, too, you could sit and coach, and you actually had enough leg room.
Had enough room.
Drinks, and you didn't have to go first. It was great.
You could be hungover. They serve you like a
bromosa. They make everybody turn off the lights.
Right away.
Yes.
Yeah.
God but damn it.
They still got those old, like, Hard Rock pools, so they were cool.
They okay.
Got the cabanas and everything. They turned one of the pools into like a club or something. I was like, no thanks. I can literally walk around to this other pool, which is the exact same.
Yeah.
Not pay $300 a head.
Yeah. 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 Because it's getting ridiculous with bottle service and shit where you're just like, bro, 30 grand for a fucking bottle of Ace of Spades, I'm all good.
But then I like would go to Nobu, right? You get drinks and it's $18 a drink, whatever.
Yes.
Honestly, living in Austin, I'm like, I'm
yeah, no bigs.
Like, that's same not price a Vegas here. Price. Right.
Yeah,
same price here.
You're like, yeah, Nobu is literally going to any mediocre place in Austin.
In Austin, yeah.
Price wise.
And then the food is always
food
lights
wise.
Out of Nobu.
Oh, it was awesome. So, some of the best octopus I've ever had.
So
it's amazing. Glad you enjoyed the weekend, but it looked fun, and I wanted to bring it up because the Sphere is one of those things where I know they were having some financial problems with it. I don't want them to. Because I want to see cool shit there forever. Visually, it's the fucking best, dude.
How are they having financial problems?
They spent so much money on it, and
they're not recouping.
Yeah, no, because the aftermarket is eating up all the real ticket prices and shit. And so hopefully it switches. But yeah, they spent $1.7 billion, I believe, on it. So they gotta.
I want to know what the operating costs are.
Same. That's why, by the way, I think that's why they're losing money because that's so expensive.
Well, yeah, if you want, I think maybe the ticket should be more.
Probably.
Maybe.
Because the whole experience is like upper level.
And it's a once in a lifetime thing.
Like, I got my tickets for $150.
Wow.
That's crazy, though.
That's crazy, bro. And you had good seats. I saw your Instagram.
Yeah.
Fuck.
This is why.
I'm seeing here in Q3 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Operating costs were $62 million.
Shit. All right.
Can't make that.
What was the profit? What was their profit last quarter?
And you're paying the band. And you're like, you know what I mean?
No. Shit.
$13.4 million for venue operating costs. I'm not sure, but their advertising on the light screen outside can cost $450,000 a day.
Oh, that's you know what? That's actually a great way to make your money back because everybody takes a fucking photo of that goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right.
But I mean, when I was there,
how are you making your money back from the outside?
Advertise it. So sell the ad space out there. I would do that. Because right now it's just fun shit, unless you guys saw ads. But when we were there, you and I saw like smiley faces and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes it's an emoji.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was there, it was all Grateful Dead stuff.
Yeah.
But they typically, sometimes they'll have like, you know, an ad for Stranger Things. Or,
yep.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah. So maybe that's, I think that's a good way to make some money back. Either way, I hope it lasts because I really fucking like it. Yeah, we had a really enjoyable experience, and I can't wait to see whoever's next. I know they're trying to do a UFC fight there. I don't really understand.
Mexican Independence Day.
Is that going down?
Yeah.
So how what's the, since you've been there and we've been there, how does that translate?
I imagine it'll just be like,
you'll watch it on the screen?
You'll project some crazy shit on the screen, right?
Bro.
Like the
intros
are going to
be fighting in there?
Yeah, fighting in there.
The intros are going to be wild. They might have like, they'll just project the fights on the giant screen too.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
What day is that?
Mexican Independence Day.
I don't know what that
September.
Is.
Okay.
September.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Fuck.
I can get into that.
Yeah, same here. That would be fun.
Because I always have to look at a monitor anyways. Like, you know what I mean? Jumbotron, whatever, wherever I go. Because I'm like too short. Concerts, whatever.
Yeah.
So if that was the thing that you're looking at, I'm good with that.
Small but hot. Small but hot, you know?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Short but mighty.
Yeah.
Tall energy.
Tall, very tall energy.
Mm-hmm.
Very tall energy. Speaking of which, you did Time for Pie podcast yesterday.
I did.
How was that? It looked fun.
Yeah.
Those guys are always out of control. Was there a fucking party at Jared's house last night or what happened there?
What was last night? Last night was
Sunday. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was there Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
So it was like, it was just the normal crazy riffraff, you know, some band coming over and, you know, busting out a saxophone, like saxophone player coming, just like playing at their
for no
house
reason.
Bar.
Yeah.
Just kind of like showed up and Caleb's there, which is great. You know, Jared's
I love
great.
I told you, though, I go, look, if they said four, that show won't start till 6:30 easily.
Yeah, but like that's the problem with having the studio at your house, right? Like house stuff is going to happen like while you're trying to
it's
record.
Not even, but it's more than a house. It's a bar. It's a karaoke place. It's a fucking stand-up.
It's a compound.
I mean, it is.
It's a flop house. It's
well, what'd you guys talk about and tell everybody where they can see it?
So they can see it on Time for Pie YouTube, and then Time for Pie is everywhere where you get your audio podcasts as well.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, they're one of those shows that I think they did the show here, and you did the show with them here, right? Or you
did,
just talked to them about it.
Well, I did it here, so I haven't seen their setup. So they came in.
Here's how I describe their show. Like, if you gave toddlers millions of dollars and a staff.
Okay.
Do you
Makes
know what
sense.
I mean?
Yeah.
Or teenagers. Something where it's just like the ideas are that of, you know, toddlers, teenage boys, or whatever.
Mentally
but then
retarded
they actually
people, yeah.
have no, there's not mental retard. There's
well,
just a naivete.
Sure,
there's
yeah.
a young, you know, and then you have actually the money to carry it out, and you have the staff to do it. So just think of like any weird ass idea that you have. They could be like, oh yeah, we're just gonna actually do that.
Yeah.
So that's what the show is like. I just tried to give them kind of dating advice. They were going through it. And
both of them
talk some shit. Oh, yes, of course.
Well, Jared, yes. Caleb, yeah.
Jared's in his era of like doing it for the content, which is fun, but it can be hard on a psyche. You know what I mean? Of a person that's actually going through it.
Yeah.
And just like doing it for the content. So, you know, he's in that like Plenty of Fish era.
Did
kinda.
You go through the crazy plain girl, Tiffany Gomez?
No.
Okay.
No. We talked about like actual names and things like that before, and then it was just sort of a vague, kind of on the surface. Mom came into the studio and wanted to talk to these boys about like, what are you guys doing? What is the end game? Show me the end of the movie. What does it look like?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I can't follow the storyline right now.
I'll pop it on. I was shocked that when you're getting ready, I'm usually doing work shit or whatever on the computer. Mm-hmm. And it popped up and I was like, oh shit, I'm surprised they put it out that quickly. Usually for those guys, it's like, all right, man, you'll shoot it, and who knows when that's coming up.
Well, but... it's, you know, they have a producer that's doing everything.
Okay, good.
So, you know, they go in, do what we do, yeah, and then they leave and go party, and someone else does all the stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Do you guys have a crime corner today or a nature nook this afternoon? What do you got? Anything?
Yeah, you want to do today? Nook? Okay.
Let's do a nook today. I'm in it. People are asking if this will be a full-length show for you one day. Man, that was close. I didn't know.
You did it or wobbling. You didn't do it?
I got it. I got it right. I was on the right screen, but I didn't know.
Right.
Yeah.
We kind of went over this before because it's been kind of an ongoing story of the orcas, right?
Mm.
The boat attackers,
these orcas that seem like they're, you know, intentionally targeting.
Teaming up.
It seems like they're smart enough to be like, get the fuck out of here.
Declaring war on the yachts.
Are they, though? Like, do we know that it's intentional? Have we figured this out yet?
Well, there's different theories, but are we watching like a video?
Yeah, first let's give you some context on what an orca boat attack is like.
Yes.
Now, this is one of the more harrowing of the two. I've got two videos for you. This one is some Inuits out fishing in northern Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just on a little rickety boat.
Holy shit. How fast are orcas?
Really fucking fast.
Really fucking fast if they want to be.
Yeah, okay.
They don't usually want to be unless it's for food, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so they wanted to eat these fuckers. Why did these guys stop right here?
I don't know.
I think they thought they lost them or something.
You can kind of see the at.
Okay.
It's still coming.
Yeah.
Still coming. Bang.
Whoa. Bang.
Oh, shit.
And that's like...
Jumped on the boat, somehow didn't capsize it. They're like, go, go, go!
Yeah.
Wow.
Coming at him again.
Holy shit!
So it is like targeted attack to the point where you'd be like, if it's not food, you're mad.
Yeah.
They're mad about something.
For sure.
And they've always been, I mean, from what, you know, any studies or people say, like, very smart, right?
Yes.
So everyone has like these theories and it happens a lot. It's not a brand new story or breaking news, but it's also just like, what is going on, right?
Finally got word from the Blackfish documentary.
Yeah, they finally saw it. It was on Hulu and they were like, oh, let's do it. All right, so a lot of questions here. Why are you taking a dinghy out in the weather like this?
Dude, they're fishing. It's the only boat they can afford. These are like poor Native Americans in
Canada. Yeah, they're just literally trying to fish for like whatever their little village is. They're not trying to like mass produce, you know.
So they're just trying to get food for like literally themselves.
They're just trying to fish. Okay. This isn't a big fishing boat, although they do attack those as well, right?
So they attack yachts. They've been attacking a lot of yachts. A
lot of yachts.
This is a British yacht. And it's in the Mediterranean mostly around Gibraltar.
And then they spell out in blood, eat the rich.
Yeah. Like they're writing stuff.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. With their fins?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So these orcas were just following this yacht. This one's like... It's not, the video's not that crazy, but like they're rocking, they bump into the boat, they rock the boat. There's a pod of like 20 orcas surrounding this fucking boat, and these guys are just helpless. Like they
just
can't,
a little gang intimidation.
Yeah, they can't outrun it. They're like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
They're like, we could sink you.
I'm making those orca noises on my own for the audio.
And then
that was really good.
Here's one where I believe they hit, yeah, that's not waves. That's them rocking the boat.
Do you like how old girl's just like, whatever? Yeah. Like, she doesn't even care.
No, doesn't care. She's like, I'm in a yacht, bro.
I want her to get bumped a little bit.
So do I.
So here is the damage. Like, they'll bump the bottom of the boat. They didn't sink this one, but they did. Eventually, they check it out. Destroyed the rudder.
Oh, shit.
So they can't steer as well. Like, it's they will just fuck with
the
boat.
That's, all like, right. Calculated, too. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to hit
very
you.
Calculated,
they know the rudder's important.
Yeah.
And then they got to call
That's
it.
That's the crazy shit.
Yeah.
Wow,
now
they finally
figured out what is going on.
Okay, and what is it?
It's a group of bored teenage whales.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Antifa? Like Antifa whales?
No, not even like that. So the other day, for example, I was, we went
just
and ate.
Just mischief.
We went and ate at the league, right?
Okay.
Me and my wife did.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm leaving the fucking league. We're driving past Evo. There's like 30 teenagers off to the side of the theater.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just fucking hanging around, probably ripping a weed vape pen they stole from somebody or whatever.
Sure.
Sure.
All of a sudden, a rock flies right at my fucking car. Just misses it.
For real?
Yeah, for real. I look over. Three teenagers are running away. Like a pretty big rock, too.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
It's a bunch
of shitbag teenagers.
I don't like that. Yeah. So the
outside of a movie theater.
Outside of a movie theater, being like, throw a rock at that car. Which, admittedly, is something I would have done as a teenager. So I get it.
Right. But
and my kids weren't in the car, so I wasn't too angry. I was just like, you little fuckers.
Yeah.
And that's from USA Today. Just being like, you know, for the past 5 years, these things have been happening. We didn't really know why. And they're like, what originally appeared to be attacks on more than 673 boats since 2020 has now seemed to be more likely to be a bunch of bored teenage orcas. USA Today.
It is
said that?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a bunch of bored teenage orcas. So what's
that
really
are just like have no, they're just kind of like, let's do this for fun and like fuck with them.
And the reason is because, so they eat tuna, bluefin tuna, like much like you, minus the black olives, but they eat tuna. And
we don't know that. We don't know that they don't like black olives.
They're
smart enough
to get it.
Yeah.
It used to be overfished, so they had to spend most of their time looking for food. But there's been environmental protections put in place.
Now
so
they're like,
they're back, and now they have a bunch of time to do it. And the scientists were like, you know, when you live there, the ocean's pretty boring.
Not a lot to do. It's like prison.
They're like, there's not a lot to do.
So it's like a wet prison.
Yeah. So they just start attacking boats for fun.
Wow.
Right. Because they're well-fed. They're spoiled little fucking teenagers at this point, and they're just like,
don't know.
Fuck
how,
you.
Their parents are like, you don't know how fucking hard we had it. They have to swim for fucking days to get tuna.
Yeah, they're gang.
You just open your goddamn mouth and tuna swim into it, and you get to go.
Right.
You think I didn't want to attack boats when I was your age?
Yeah. Back in my day, we call ourselves the Wet Boys. We're the Wet Boys. Watch out. And the parents are like, whatever. Okay.
The Wet Boys.
Just be back. Later.
What's Kevin Hart's little group?
The Plastic Cup Boy.
God, it's just so fucking gay. Yeah. By the way, Bob, I did have somebody finally ask me in Patreon, because I don't like check comments and all that shit. Somebody in Patreon, I do read the Patreon. So if you are subscribed to Patreon and you comment, those I definitely read, and your homies. Also, if you pay for it and want to talk shit, totally fine.
For sure.
So I read all of those. Somebody asked me what the black olive thing was in the tuna, if it was true. Yes, it's true. And the other part was, it was an accident. So you know what a Subway or name a sandwich shop?
Sure.
Where accidental toppings fall in and you don't know that you like it. And then it fell in. And I bit into this sandwich and I was like, fucking black olives on this? I like it. I'm not going back to chastise it.
I know we've talked about this before, but is it just the tuna, bread, and black olives?
No. Lettuce, tomatoes, salt and pepper. I like the salt and pepper combo.
Okay. I'm sure we've been over
it. Two lines of extra mayo in there. Thin lines.
But they're thin lines.
It's not a lot. It's just two quick thin lines in there just to make sure everything's on the up and up.
Yep.
And then black olives, so...
Okay.
Look, we all do gross stuff. You do a lot of gross stuff, okay?
Okay.
A lot of your food looks like soupy diarrhea, and it's just kind of
like
mashed together in a bowl.
Like what?
There's a dip to it. There's a cracker, some sort of dipping device to whatever that is. Uh-huh. And it's usually, what's the white vegetable? Cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually a version of cauliflower that's mashed into something that is beyond recognition of what cauliflower actually looks like.
Okay.
And then crossed with something else. We were like, all right, cool. It's not as bad as your mom, though. Your mom goes aggressive. These are the people that eat like garlic, raw garlic on everything, where it's just so intense that you're like, holy shit. That's a level that I can't go to.
She's a shelf sweeper.
What does that mean?
It means like you just go in and you go like, what do I have and what can I make out of it? And okay. It's like, oh, like strawberries,
pickles, garlic, yeah.
Pickles, cheese, old turkey, a little bit of shrimp.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
breadcrumbs,
yeah, yeah,
right? Yeah, and you yeah. Go, I'm going to whip it up
yep.
And eat it.
I, also, the only person that we went out to a Mexican restaurant and got shrimp tacos one night, took them home from the restaurant and then brought them on the plane the next day. So
that's offensive.
It's for everyone. For everyone involved, everyone on that plane.
I know, but like,
morally offensive.
I know, but like she's of that generation. I don't, you know.
Don't waste food.
Of that generation, but hippie style, where it's like, I don't think Bob's parents are like saving a shrimp and bringing it on the plane. But there's a certain, it's almost, they act like they're like, went through the Great Depression. They didn't.
I mean, my parents are more of they're very like frugal Midwestern Irish Catholic type. So they're more like they won't bring day old shrimp on the plane, but they will be like that. Their price now. The prices at the movie theater.
Oh,
are ridiculous.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Or like, those prices
getting,
really are.
We're
though.
Not getting airport food. We're gonna bring pretzels on our own pretzels.
Yeah. So that's like just a heightened hippie version of it.
Yeah.
But same kind of deal where they just like, you know, they wash out Ziploc bags and save them.
Sure, which is not great.
It might be a listen, I'm not saying it's universal. I'm not saying my experience is universal. I'm just telling you like.
No, I get it.
From Ojai, parents of a certain age, California, like that's kind of like what it's like.
Yes.
Like I could have this conversation with a lot of people.
Do you do reusable diapers?
No.
My mom did with me, yeah.
I assume so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you were
we
like...
We do not, no.
No, of course
fuck
not.
No. Fuck no.
I'd,
Little
know,
House,
my
dude?
Mom's
are we going
like,
down into the river and washing them? No, we're not doing that.
My
it. Little House.
My mom's appalled of, like, my lack of recycle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Of all the things, there's just no fucking way.
No.
The shits... No, there's no
nope,
way.
Nope.
But those were
should be
also...
against the law, Bob.
But it's like California hippie time too, where you like you're naked a lot. You know what I mean? And it's like you need the diapers for bed.
You're out there to fertilize some redwoods.
Listen,
100%.
Go sit on the bucket, play with the hose. It's like whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, anyone that does disposable diapers now, you got
immediate
some
judgment.
Time on your hands.
Immediate judgment.
Cloth? I mean,
immediate judgment.
Something gross about it too, right?
Because it's gonna soak through the cloth and then get on the clothes.
It's never clean again.
No. It sure isn't.
Yeah.
It sure isn't. All right. So I'm going to give one little quick political stump here at the end of this show because we are going to go live on YouTube today instead of Patreon. Why? Our good friend Brandon Herrera is actually running for Congress down in San Antonio today, District 23. It is May 28th. This should not be happening. However, it is a runoff. This is a special election day. There will not be many votes that decide this because this is on a weird, weird off day today. We'll promote that at the top of the show. But if you live there and a majority, a large amount of our listenership on most of these shows is in San Antonio. It's our biggest city for some reason.
Yeah.
Please go and vote. Like you guys actually listen to these shows. The polls are open right now. Vote for Brandon Herrera over Tony Gonzalez. I honestly can't not tell you the fucking hatred I have for Tony Gonzalez. Yes, he's a Republican. Yes, he's been in there for a while. It doesn't matter. If they're shitty at their job, get them the fuck out of there. That is a guy that needs to be out of Congress to like altogether immediately. That day is actually today. So we will have that answer tomorrow for you on all of these shows. Jokingly, I had said something the other day where I was just like, well, I'll go down there and vote. You cannot do that. So
you've
got to live in the district and that's the thing.
Yeah.
We will talk about it on the next show. Who's our guest today, Bob? It's Drinker Bros in 2 o'clock.
His name is Chase. He's from InfoWars.
Yeah, Chase.
Chase Geiser.
Yes, he's got a great show. Okay. Love Chase. We'll get into that. He's a political dude. We'll get into that. It's give us 15-20 here. But we will go live on YouTube today to get it out to as many people as we possibly can. And then back to our regularly scheduled program. But we also gave you a bunch of bangers over the weekend with Crime Corner came out this weekend.
Yeah.
Video is up for that on Patreon. We reran Dr. Cyril Wecht this weekend. We gave you a bonus episode of Drinking Bros over the weekend. We don't profit off of our dead friends, so we don't do anything at all on Memorial Day. But today we are really trying to help Brandon win his district, and I will be glued to the television tonight to watch that for real. I fucking hate this guy so much, Tony Gonzalez. Please go out and vote for Brandon Herrera. The lines aren't long. Brandon was there earlier. Like, you can just pop in all day. A lot of people don't know about special elections, and they don't know that, that today's the day to actually vote for this. That district in San Antonio has been red for 100 fucking years. If he wins today, he will be in Congress this fall. Like, it is crazy. So I don't believe that a YouTuber has ever done it. You can fact check me on that later, Bob, but I don't think a YouTuber has ever won a spot in Congress before. It is a big boy job, and he believes in the right things that we believe in, and I really, really fucking hate the guy that he's running against, and you need him out. So go and vote in District 23 in San Antonio, and we'll talk more about that at the top of the hour there, and a lot of fun stuff. Welcome back. Welcome back. Download Crime Corner out there on all platforms, iTunes and Spotify. While you're over there, rate that show. Rate this show a five-star. Leave a quick review. Spotify is just a five-star on each, and you can walk away. We appreciate you tuning in, kids. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. The Jables, I'm Ross Patterson. This is The Revolucion. Buenos tardes, everyone.
Good afternoon.